You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is a Tuesday edition. It's also Valentine's Day, St. Valentine's Day. And in 1929, there was a massacre, a shooting, a gangland shooting, that was called the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Now, what's interesting, although technically it was not on Valentine's Day, but it was late yesterday, we got the resignation, and I really don't think it was a resignation. I think he was fired by President Trump. But we had the resignation of the National Security Advisor, a former general, Mike Flynn. He had been on the job 24 days. And ostensibly, the reason given in the press conference, and I'm going to play part of that press conference, the White House press briefing, if you will, was the president lost trust. Really, I think the person who lost trust is Mike Pence. And I could understand why, because he went on television and said that, no, they did not have talk about sanctions with the Russians when apparently sanctions were mentioned. Doesn't mean they were any substantive discussions of it, but in conversations with the Russian ambassador last December, the end of December, when Mike Flynn called the ambassador several times, I think total of five times. And there's something that needs to be said, because I think there's a lot of people that ignorant. I don't want to say stupid. I just think this ignorance. If you're an executive or an advisor like Mike Flynn, you're going to be making a lot of phone calls, because he's the incoming National Security Advisor. He needs to get a lot of information from a lot of people, as well as be a interface, a go-between, if you will, between foreign governments and the various people in those foreign governments and the president that want to talk to the president. So it's entirely reasonable for a National Security Advisor, and yes, it was still less than a month away, having many calls. See, I was in a business where I made many, 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 many calls. And if someone asked me even a week later all the details, unless there was a transcript, I couldn't tell you all the details. And that's the point I'm trying to make. And I'm not trying to excuse General Flynn, but I think there's a standard here that's a little bit, and I'll tell you why it's disconcerting, because I have a rather interesting take on this. When you're at a very high level, you're going to be making many, 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 many phone calls. And unless you're recording those phone calls, there's no way you can remember all the details. Now, you will remember very important matters if you got into them. And much has been made that, well, Mike Flynn shouldn't have been calling to the ambassador. Excuse me, an American citizen can make calls to anybody he wants. Now, if the National Security Advisor knows he's going to be on the job January 20th, I'd be making a lot of calls to friends and enemies of the United States, reaching out, trying to get advice. And that's what Donald Trump did, and that's what his National Security Advisor was doing, and relaying information to Donald Trump. In other words, he was doing his job. He was doing his job. You're trying to make it like he's a spy for the Russians and he's paid by the Russians. You get this undertow of he did something wrong. No, he didn't do something wrong. And they mentioned the Logan Act. No one has been ever convicted of the Logan Act. What the Logan Act in essence says, an individual citizen shouldn't be negotiating foreign policy. He wasn't doing that. Because if you listen to the press conference, and it's very clear, was there an illegal issue here? An answer from the White House counsel was no. In other words, no laws were broken. None at all. And you got to understand the big picture here, as well as my unique angle on this. What's going on? And what, in my mind, is the real story? I've said on this show several times now, but I always have to say it, that on January 20th, when Donald Trump took the oath of office and became president of the United States, he immediately had the establishment, the Washington establishment, I call them the political elitist establishment, was against him. He was an outsider, against all odds, got the nomination of the Republican Party and won. No one expected him to get the nomination, and no one expected him to win. Well, I did, but I wasn't a Trump supporter, and I didn't vote, because in my mind, Donald Trump is a liberal Democrat, and as far as I'm concerned, that's a big government politician, and I'm had it up to here with big government politicians, because I'm very much a classical liberal and believe in limited government and a representative republic under the Constitution. Well, we don't have that anymore. We don't have a representative republic. We have an American empire. We have two parties that are both for big government. And Donald Trump should be welcomed by the Republican Party because he's for big government. I'm not expecting much from Donald Trump. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. Would he be better than Hillary Clinton? Yes, no argument there. If those are the only choices you had, and you had several, I said none of the above. I couldn't vote for any of the candidates. I didn't have a horse in the race, a candidate in the race. But I said, the day he takes that oath, the political elitist establishment, including the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, in particular their leadership, as well as the bureaucracy, government employees, the media, I call them big lie media, the television networks, the press, and most importantly, the people that own and run this country and buy the politicians, the donor-owner class that make the huge campaign contributions, are all going to be against the Trump administration. They're going to fight him every single inch of the way. They're not going to give any quarter. And that's exactly what is happening. And this is just one more instance of that. They're trying to take out Mr. Trump. Ultimately, they want to impeach him and convict him. That is the game plan. That's what they're working on. And what they try to do in the confirmation process is to get a scalp. Make sure at least one, if not more, don't get through. Well, it looks like most of them, if not all of them, are going to get through. Remember, there are 4,000 positions. And the ones that have to go through confirmation hearings are the secretaries, and I believe the deputy secretary, the number two position, the person that runs the department, Mr. Outside is the secretary, and he's obviously the interface with the president. But the person that runs the department is usually the number two guy. Doesn't mean he doesn't follow the orders of the secretary or the president. He does. But the day-to-day management of the various departments is the deputy. So when you have an outsider, and Mr. Trump is very much an outsider, remember, this is the first time he's run for public office, has no experience as a politician. He has a lot of experience as an executive. And good executives try to hire the best people and delegate, tell whoever they appoint what they want, hold them accountable, and they want to be informed when something important that they should be aware of happens. But general management, general executive, in the business world, your chief executive officer, usually they're CEO / president, some are chairman, CEO, president. Sometimes they're three people, sometimes they're one. They run the show. They make the tough decisions. And the important decisions is to appoint the best people that they can. And Donald Trump appointed former Lieutenant General Mike Flynn. And he was, Mike Flynn had several positions. Actually, it was Barack Obama who wanted General recommended Flynn for his third star, and then head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. They subsequently had a falling out, but the point I'm trying to make is, and I've said this several times, whoever the president is, I don't care if it's a Democrat, Republican, what their politics are, they should select their own team. They need to have confidence in the people around them. Obviously, trust is important. Loyalty is important. But there's something that you have to get clear in your head, what's going on here and what resulted in this resignation. Now, I have no doubts at all that they're having a Valentine's Day party today. Because they got their scalp in less than 4 weeks. And he wasn't even on the job a month. They forced out Donald Trump's national security advisor. And that's a big win for who? The lying lunatic left and big lie media are the two big winners here. But also the neocons, the progressives, the political elitist establishment, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, the radical Islamic terrorist jihadists. Because General Flynn has a well-deserved reputation. He understands them, as do I. In other words, you got to know your enemy, and he does know your enemy. So the terrorists in the world, they're celebrating. They are celebrating. You better believe it. You see, the hate America crowd, both domestic and foreign, are celebrating tonight that Mike Flynn is no longer a national security advisor. Now, I can understand where Vice President Pence would be a little upset if he truly thought that Mike Flynn misled him. I don't know what conversations they had, but here's what's really disturbing. What's going on here? It's clear that there are leakers in the government, probably in... If you want to look for the leakers, I'd start with the Department of Justice, the FBI, and yes, the National Security Agency. You see, the National Security Agency is responsible for what's called signals intelligence. They intercept not only phone conversations, but everything you do on the internet, they have a copy of. Now I'm not happy about that. I've given several shows. I think the biggest mistake Bush made, President Bush, as well as Obama and now Trump, they, I think unwisely is the best way to say it, let loose, gave permission to the National Security Agency to invade the privacy of the American people, contrary to the Bill of Rights, namely the Fourth Amendment. They're spying on us, and that's what they're doing. And the danger of that is once it gets started, it's almost impossible to stop. It needs to be stopped, but it's not going to be. Not with these two political parties. These two political parties, Democrat and Republican, are big government parties. A lot of money is being spent, over $100 billion and over 100,000 people in a national security agency are spying on the American people. Now, some of you say, well, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I have nothing to hide. Neither do I. But you're missing the point. Why can this result in tyranny, what's been called a turnkey tyranny? Everything you communicate today, virtually everything. They haven't gotten to private conversations, not really. But everything you do over the internet is intercepted. And what that means is, now they will say, no, we didn't intercept it. What they've done is collect it. Anything you communicate. Emails, photographs, videos, this show, for example, both as I broadcast it and when I ultimately put it up as a podcast. The National Security Agency has a copy of it. It does have a copy of it. And what happens? They built huge data centers and it's stored. You need a lot of storage to do this. It's on a hard drive. Now, what you need to understand is the cost of storage is plummeting. We're about ready to have most of the computers, starting probably in the fall, maybe next year. The price of a solid-state drive has gone down, down, and down. And they're more reliable, can have more data, they're faster. You want to have a solid-state hard drive. Up to now, they've been expensive. But the price keeps falling and falling and falling, and ultimately, you won't be able to get one of these mechanical drives that most laptops and computers have today. It doesn't make sense, because you can get something that's faster, better, more reliable, and that's the solid-state drive. And I've given a show on it and reports on it. It's the way to go. And where you're going to see the early introduction, and you're already seeing it, is in where you need to store huge quantities of data. And that, obviously, is the National Security Agency, as well as large corporations. What they do is they intercept, get a copy of, everything you've done. Did that mean somebody's reading your email? No, it doesn't mean it. anyone's reading your email. Not yet. They're not listening to your phone calls because it's the obvious problem. What are they trying to do? They're trying to intercept communications of truly of our enemies. They're spying on who? Yeah, the Russians, the Chinese communists, the mullahs, the leadership in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Communications. Any form of communications that in any way can be passes over the internet, as well as telephone switching conversations, satellite conversations. They're trying to intercept, and they're trying to get all of it. Their ambition is, and remember, there are over 7 billion people. I think they're about 7.3 billion people. There are a lot of people. Now, not everyone has access to the internet, but many, many people do. So their goal is to archive, store all this information, anything that crosses the United States. Well, it doesn't have to be even the United States, because we have some of our allies are doing it too. So they've accumulating, it's been described as haystacks. And it's a lot of information, and it's stored. But do they look at it? No. When do they look at it? That's the question you should ask. What triggers someone looking at your information? When you become a target. Let's say they've identified and have a name of a terrorist. What do? They data mine all that information that they've stored and aggregated, and they develop a dossier on you. For example, don't you think that the National Security Agency has targeted the Russian ambassador? I would be amazed if they didn't. I would call them incompetent if they didn't target the Russian ambassador. So when Mike Flynn used to be head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, a large agency. See, the various services have their intelligence services, mainly for tacticals, some strategic, and then the overall Department of Defense is an umbrella organization of that. Mike Flynn is aware of that. He knew when he made the phone call to the Russian ambassador that that phone call was going to end up in that database. I say database. It's not the database that you think of, though. This is used in the corporate world to get information on their customers, for example. But what we're talking about here is you want to know what conversations that the Russian ambassador is both making to other people and receiving. So when future National Security Advisor Mike Flynn called up the Russian ambassador, you better believe he knew he was being recorded. I don't think he forgot about that. He's a smart man. But he was making hundreds of these calls. To who? Other countries. Because other countries wanted to talk to the president. And the president wanted to talk to them. So one of these key people, the interface between them, between President Trump and foreign officials, heads of state, as well as the ambassadors here, is going to be Mike Flynn. That is expected of any incoming national security advisor. What I'm trying to say is Michael Flynn is not a fool, although he's probably regretting accepting the position. So what happens? And let's step back a minute. We just had President Obama leave. But you better believe there are a lot of Obama supporters in many agencies and departments of this government. There certainly are in the media, television networks, and newspapers, and throughout the government, in Congress as well. They don't like Donald Trump. They thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. They are working in the government today, so-called civil servants, your GS 1 through 15, as well as the executive levels. Now, the political appointees, they leave, and so do many of the senior people in the various departments. But you better believe in the various departments, including the Department of Justice, including the FBI, including the National Security Agency, and yes, even the Defense Intelligence Agency. You have people that are partisans, is probably the best way to describe them. Not happy that Donald Trump is president. Not all, but a few, and it only takes one, really. Talk to the press, the media. Now, they don't want to be identified because they could lose their job, but they will leak information, and all administrations face this problem. Now, I need to add that many times, no matter what the administration, they want someone to leak it, and usually they tell someone, please leak this. In other words, wink, wink, nod, nod, please tell your contacts off the record, nothing's for attribution, or if it is for attribution, it might be a senior White House official or a senior Department of Justice official. They'll identify the source, not by name, because if they did, the person would get fired. fired. And that's sort of important. The press knows to protect its sources. If it wants to get information, you got to have sources and you got to protect your sources. Given the fact that, more than 90%, I would say 95% of your so-called reporters, news people, in the media, television, print, support the Democratic Party. They're Democrats. There are a lot of people to go to. And you got to be careful, especially if you work in the government and you're going to leak information and you haven't been told to do it. You got to be very, very careful who you give the information to, because you don't want to see your name in the papers or your name on the newscast, because if you do, fairly shortly, you will be asked to leave. Now, it's hard to very, very hard to fire a civil servant, but you're breaking the law, so you'll be prosecuted. And that's what you need to understand. You see, there are two stories that are I think, actually more important than the fact that the National Security Advisor resigned. There's been a rash of leaks from various departments, most likely from either Clinton or Obama supporters, to the press. And the press are the newspapers, television, but primarily the press. And sometimes it's an opinion piece. Sometimes it's a straight news story. All reporters cultivate sources. It doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican. That's a smart thing to do. Now, unfortunately today, many reporters rely on, in essence, rewriting the press releases of the various departments. However, there's still investigative reporters that cultivate people in the departments to try to get information. And it takes years to do that. And in this environment, especially in the Obama administration, it was very, very risky. Obama really pursued the leakers and wanted to prosecute not only them, but the media as well. You need to understand that the information as to what General Flynn or National Security Advisor Flynn said in those telephone conversations was leaked to the press, the details. Now, they put the spin on it. Oh, he broke the Logan Act. No one has ever been convicted. First of all, it's an obscure act. No one's been prosecuted. Because if they did, they'd have to prosecute a lot of people, Democrats and Republicans of both administrations, senators, presidents, down the line. So don't fall for the nonsense. Oh, he broke the Logan Act nonsense. Or he shouldn't have been calling. Actually, I think he should have been calling not only the Russian ambassador, every ambassador, at least introducing himself as well and talking to other people in the embassies, but also in foreign governments, assuming they'll take the call, and most probably would. He does have to be a little careful, and apparently he was, because if you listen to the press conference, which I'll play in a minute, there was no legal issue. In other words, the conversation, nothing, no illegal behavior here. In other words, he wasn't passing on classified information. And yes, sanctions were brought up, but so what? As of that date, Flynn couldn't do anything about it. He's not president. Obama was still president. And they can talk in general terms, and that's exactly what happened. Now, here's the problem. You have the leaks cause this problem, and they're causing other problems as well. Trump is quickly learning that leaks can and have brought down administrations. He needs to get on top of that. But what's more disturbing is the nature of these leaks. They had to come through, there are three candidates for it. They had a wiretap. They were intercepting communications to the Russian ambassador over his phone. So the National Security Agency definitely was involved. The FBI most likely was involved. And because the FBI is under the Department of Justice, people in the Justice Department knew it. So if you're trying to put together a list of suspects, or at least agencies that probably leaked it, I gave you the top three, the NSA, the FBI, and the Justice Department. And in the Justice Department, I include the FBI. And it's probably a senior level person that's a Democrat and most likely supported either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. Someone that's a partisan, an ideologue. They're not happy that Donald Trump won. They're not happy that Donald Trump is running the government. And that if they run into any communications that could severely embarrass Donald Trump, they're going to leak it. Now, they got to be careful and they understand it, but apparently there are multiple leaks here. There's more than one person talking. And President Trump's already complained about this. The leaks were part of the problem. But what's the bigger picture, though, and my concern is this. Whether you like General Flynn or not, and like I said, I'm not a Trump supporter. And I have a trust issue with Mr. Trump and the Republican Party. I'll never could vote for the Democratic Party unless someone is a truly for limited government, whether they call themselves a conservative, libertarian. The label's not important to me. What's important is what their philosophy is and what they vote on and support. People can talk conservative, yet their actions in terms of, for example, out of control government spending, supporting that, they're not a conservative to me. They're a phony. They're a hypocrite, a phony. They tell you one thing, do another. That's my problem. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. That's another way to say it. The way Trump says it, the time for talk is over. Action is what we need. I agree with that. I agree with we need action. So you need to understand my bias. I'm giving you my commentary or opinion here. I'm not a newsman, have no ambition to be a journalist at all. Broadcaster, yes. Journalist, absolutely not. I'm opinionated, and you're going to hear the opinions. But my biggest concern is, it's more than a concern, the government is not only out of control in terms of spending, it's out of control in invading by law. Should be repealed, and it was expanded upon by Obama, the Patriot Act. And most Americans simply are not, they're ignorant of this. Or if they know of it, they forget about it. And I'm sure that's what General Flynn did. He forgot about it. Oh yeah, he knew that there's probably 99.999% probability that when he made that phone call, he knew that it was being recorded, intercepted. I think anyone of his background would have known that. But what's going on? They're trying to take him out any way they can, by lies, innuendo. See, I don't think he did anything wrong. And matter of fact, I think he was doing his job. That's why I'm disappointed in Trump. Because what was going on is he was making a lot of phone calls. Probably wasn't taking notes, or very few notes. Certainly didn't have a transcript of the phone call. But where can you get that transcript? Yes, the National Security Agency. Someone in that agency, the FBI or the Department of Justice, or most likely all three, has leaked the content of those phone calls. And apparently there's a transcript of it. And I haven't seen it, but my understanding is, yes, sanctions were mentioned, but in a general way, there was no negotiation of sanctions one way or the other. It's just conversation. And that's the way I look at it. They're still called meet and greet. I remember when I was in the defense industry and we'd have visitors, and it was more or less a courtesy call, a meet or greet, where I take someone that I was negotiating a contract with to visit, usually the deputy general manager. And it's to shake hands, you know, how do you do, blah, blah, blah. You have that situation in business. You have that situation in government. What General Flynn or NSA advisor Flynn was doing was preparing the way for a successful transition once Trump took that oath. What he got caught up in is a victim of several things working against him. Remember, they weren't happy that General Flynn was made National Security Advisor. Now, who wasn't happy? Yes, the Democratic Party. Bingo, you got that one right. That wasn't very hard, though. Big lie media, bingo. They weren't very happy. They had stories. The neocons in Congress, the neoconservatives, the war party, the warmonger, they weren't happy. He wasn't one of them. They want a neocon to be, ideally, they want a neocon, the two neocons. And they're speaking out today, Senator Graham and John McCain. And there are others in the House and the Senate, but those are the names you normally hear. They're interventionists. They want war with almost anyone. And they didn't like Donald Trump's comments about Putin and Russia. See, in my mind, and I haven't made it up, I haven't totally convinced yet, but Donald Trump leans towards being a non-interventionist president. He doesn't want the United States to be policeman of the world. He doesn't want the United States to engage in nation building. And he wants other nations or allies to pull their weight. In other words, if we're part of alliance and you've made commitments as to what military spending you're going to commit to, by God, you need to do it. So the neocons never liked Trump. And most of the never Trumpers were neocons, including the National review crowd. You see, the Washington establishment, Republican and Democrat, did not want Donald Trump to be president. Not at all. And that's the same with the bureaucracy and the media. Now, the media needs ratings. So initially, they built him up. But the media's MO, method of operation, if you will, they build you up and then they'll throw you down. They'll tear you down. And that's where they're at right now. They're in teardown mode. They've been in teardown mode once it was assured that Donald Trump was getting the nomination. Then they were all for Hillary Clinton. So the two key aspects of the story that deserve attention is first the leaking that's going on, but really the threat to your privacy. Because what we're seeing here is the effects of a state secret spying and surveillance. That's what they do. In other words, it was already set up, and Flynn knew it, that any communication he made, not just to the Russian ambassador, but to anybody. I'm sure that the NSA has dozens of communications, and see, a few of those are leaking out. If you're going to leak, you don't leak the innocent stuff. What you leak is something that could be construed as either wrong or embarrassing. Ideally, that they would like to discover a crime. But if they can't find a crime, find something that's really embarrassing. And that's where Mike Flynn got tripped up. Oh, he made those phone calls. I think he was expected to do that. I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump told him to do it. Now, he's not going to disclose that, neither is Trump. But that's what incoming administrations do. It's calling being prepared. So when you walk into the building, you're hitting the ground and you're running. You're not sucking your thumb. What do I do now? And if you pick good people, that's what they're going to do. Now, if you pick dunces, people that are slow, cronies, if you will, you might have a problem. You want leaders. Now, if you remember my two shows ago, I think Friday's show, that's the big deficit in Washington, leaders. We don't have many leaders today. We have a lot of followers. We have a lot of critics. But leaders, no. That's the biggest deficit today that the United States face. It's leadership. For the simple reason that many people in the business world that rise to the very top, the CEOs of your major corporations, want nothing to do with politics. Nothing to do with it. And the same in the military. They want nothing to do with any administration. And a good example is what happened to Mike Flynn. I think he was forced to resign because Mike Pence was a little upset. But Mike Pence needs to understand that Mike Flynn didn't have a transcript of what he said. He's doing it all from memory and probably made hundreds of phone calls. Now, I'm not trying to give the excuse at all, Mike Flynn. I don't care who Donald Trump, I do care in the sense I want him to select the best person to be national security advisor. And yes, you need the trust. You need trust of that person. And trust takes time to build. I'd be the first one to say. And when you're dealing with someone that's misleading or lying with you, you got to cut that off fairly quickly. I understand that. But it would not surprise me at all that Mike Flynn totally forgot many of the details of that conversation. Yes, he had it, but in his mind, he was just getting prepared, getting ready to start to work. I think now he sort of regrets it because this is damaging to him, whether it's in the right or the wrong. They're looking for a scalp. And Donald Trump, President Trump, made a big mistake because they're not going to stop with him. And he knows this. They're trying to get at President Trump through his people. Who's next? Probably Kellyanne Conway, because she made the remark, and I'd be the first one to say, highly inappropriate. I would have kept her and said, listen, if you do it again, you're fired. And that's probably what President Trump said. It's clear to me that the press, together with the leakers, and I think many of them are high up in the government, by the way, they're still there, they're still working, they're still getting a paycheck, and they think they've done the right thing. That's what partisans are. They're convinced what they did was the right thing. The public needed to know that, and I got it out. Now, they won't resign or let the media put their name on it. If they really feel so strongly about it, resign. You know, the right course of action is this. If you think an administration is doing something that's illegal or inappropriate or you just can't agree with the policy, the appropriate thing, if you're a government official, is to resign. That is the proper thing to do. Now, if you're a civil servant and you need that paycheck and you don't want to retire yet, you don't resign. doesn't mean you don't stop leaking. And you got to be super careful today. This is something I need to say. You have to be real careful. I think there's fewer and fewer leakers, mainly because of what President Obama did going after the leakers. And I think as a result of the first several weeks in the White House, I think Donald Trump is going to go after the leakers. The problem is you're never going to stop it. There's somebody in the chain that gets the information that is in a position to pass it on, and he doesn't necessarily have to meet with anybody. He can stick it in an envelope, mail it, although it could be intercepted. One way or the other, he can get it to the media, where the reporter, investigative reporter, never meets the person. Now, that poses a problem because you don't know how good the information is. But that didn't stop the media. You saw what happened a couple of weeks ago. That fake news story, none of the facts could be verified, so they didn't run with it, but still CNN made sure it got out there. What I'm trying to say is I think this whole situation, it's bad for this reason. It really discourages many, many people from ever running for public office or serving in the government. Now, that's not a problem because there are hundreds of thousands of people that work for the government. Now, they're not all politicians, but your talented people, and I mean really talented people, your leaders, they don't want to work for the, I don't want to work for the government because many of the people running it are corrupt. They're liars and they're corrupt. They're not the best and brightest. They're the worst as far as I'm concerned, and they're certainly not the virtuous and the wise. Yes, in many respects, the worst rise to the top. Hillary Clinton, good example. The worst rise to the top. And I'm not a fan of Mr. Trump either. I was and would have, had he ran for president, supported Mike Pence. And when Mike Pence decided to run for a second term for governor of Indiana, said, well, there's one good one. And then Jeff Sessions, I never thought was going to run, but there was always some hope maybe he would. He didn't. And there were two or three that ran that really never got any traction. So I said, I'm just sitting this one out. I sat out Romney, too. I'm one of those 5 million that sat home. I didn't trust Mitt Romney. He's a notorious flip-flopper. Can't believe what he says because maybe in a couple of years he'll change his mind. Now, I'm all for people changing their minds when the facts change. That's what human beings do that have any intelligence. When the facts of the situation change, I will change my opinion. Until then, I tend to hold my opinions for a very, very long time. And that's what you want. You don't want someone that you can't rely on. So I have really, how should I say this? Why there's a lot of media attention to this. This has been the subject of talk radio yesterday evening into the morning hours and today. People are going on and on about it. What drives me a little nuts, do they ever prepare? There are just too many people that talk off the top of the head. The Logan Act is the perfect example. Oh, he violated the Logan Act. So when was the last time anyone was prosecuted? 1800s? 1812? I don't know. And there's a reason for it. Now, I'm not against the spirit of Logan. The problem is it's been violated so many times by so many people. And that's why I think that they reached the conclusion, the White House counsel reached the conclusion, no laws were broken here. Now, I'm looking at the time, and I promised to play some of the White House press conference. This is the question and answer period. Spicer is being grilled big time about the Flynn resignation.
Jonathan Carl.
Back in January, the president said that nobody in his campaign had been in touch with the Russians. Now, today, can you still say definitively that nobody on the Trump campaign, not even General Flynn, had any contact with the Russians before the election?
My understanding is that what General Flynn has now expressed is that during the transition period, well, we were very clear that during the transition period, he did speak with the ambassador.
I'm talking about during the campaign.
I don't have any. There's nothing that would conclude me that anything different has changed with respect to that time period.
And why would the president, if he was notified 17 days ago that Flynn had misled the vice president, other officials here, and that he was a potential threat to blackmail by the Russians, why would he be kept on for almost 3 weeks?
Well, that assumes a lot of things that are not true. The president was informed of this. He asked the White House counsel to review the situation. The first matter was whether there was a legal issue. We had to review that whether there was a legal issue, which the White House counsel concluded there was not. As I stated in my comments, this was an act of trust. Whether or not he actually misled the vice president was the issue. And that was ultimately what led to the president asking for and accepting the resignation of General Flynn. A
couple of points. The president asked for the resignation. He threw him under the bus. It's the president's decision. And he's entitled to do that. Let me first say, if you don't think you can trust the guy, that's what I would do. You need the context here. But what does this set up? They're going to try to pick off everyone in the administration. Now, I know he knows that's realistically, you'd be lucky if you get a few. But people make mistakes. People forget things. I forget things. Everybody forgets things. Now, I'm giving a lot of benefit of the doubt to Mike Flynn. I recall a lot, but I don't have perfect recall. And when you're talking about a telephone conversation a month ago, 2 months ago, did he make it? Yes. Did he talk in general terms about sanctions? Apparently he did. But that doesn't mean he was negotiating. What's disturbing here? The only way that you know he's lying to you or not remembering the entire conversation is if you have a transcript, a verbatim transcript of what was said by both parties. And apparently the president does. I'm not surprised he doesn't have it. You just call up the National Security Agency and said, I want make my Mike Flynn a target. I think they already made him a target. Someone made him a target. What they made a target of was definitely the Russian ambassador. That was the tripwire. That's the minefield he walked into. And he should have been aware that, yeah, they're going to have a transcript. I don't think he forgot that. So they're comparing in detail with the benefit of a transcript. Well, you said you didn't discuss sanctions, but right here, there's one or two sentences about sanctions that look like you're lying to us. I forgot about it. Sorry. Now, memory is convenient. You know, Hillary Clinton is always, I don't recall, I don't recall, I don't remember, I don't recall. See, that's a lawyer's training. Many times she recalls, but that's the answer you give. Or you don't give an answer. You don't testify. Now, the two key facts here, the White House counsel reviewed it. Did Flynn break any law? Apparently, according to the White House counsel, and that doesn't mean they're the last one to make the determination. No laws were broken. If there had been, he'd be out. You see, I think what's going on here is Mike Pence got bent out of shape. He thought he was misled. And the question is, it could have been intentionally misled, in which case Mike Pence is absolutely right. What I think happened is Mike Flynn didn't recall all the details. And because of that, he's now out of a job. And he did apologize to the vice president. And I think it's really at the insist. I think Mike Pence insisted that Donald Trump ask for the resignation of his national security advisor. Now, there's a lot of people that can fill that position. I'm not convinced that Mike Flynn was the best person. Not at all. But you see, there's a couple of things at work here. Would you go to work for the Trump administration? See, I wouldn't at all. I'm not expecting to be asked, not looking to. But a lot of people seeing this are saying, see what happens? You have a successful military career with distinction. You get involved with politics and the people that politics attracts, and this is what happens to you. Now, I'm not naive. I have been in the military, and yes, there are officers that will lie and mislead you. They don't tell the truth. I have a newsflash. Human beings don't tell the truth. They lie all the time, including the president and including Mike Pence. Now, no one likes to be deliberately misled if that's the case. But by throwing Mike Flynn, the term is under the bus, what is going to happen? And it's already happening. They're going to go after someone else and someone else and someone else, and the leaking will continue. The leaks work. We got one of them. See, you're rewarding really the bad guys here, your opponents, both in the Democratic Party, in the various departments, and in the Republican leadership. And note who's talking here. Oh, Senator Lindsey Graham. I heard him on the news. The news is, see, Lindsey Graham and John McCain want to go to war with Russia. I think they're crazy as hell. They're interventionists, but they're neoconservatives. They used to be called imperialists. That's what they truly are. Donald Trump is a non-interventionist, and I don't think he believes in the American empire. People that believe in the American empire, they want to be in country after country. They want the United States to be the hegemon, the policeman of the world, nation build, use the CIA as well as the military. It's not just the military. They are for an active, aggressive, foreign policy. And they're right. They're entitled to their opinion. I don't want any part of that. That gets people killed, and that gets us in the financial mess with that we're in today. And it is a mess. But the real story here in my mind is the leakers and the fact that we have government agencies spying on the American people. Now, this case, I can understand why they're intercepting the phone conversations of the Russian ambassador. I'm not criticizing that. What I am criticizing is when an American is part of that conversation, unless he's committing treason, espionage, in other words, disclosing information that he shouldn't be, and in that case, it should be reported to the FBI, or at least they should be alerted. Those conversations, especially of Mike Flynn, should have not have been available to that many people. And apparently they were, and they were leaked. Surprise, surprise, they were leaked. They were intentionally leaked. It wasn't an accident. And those are the people that you rewarded, Mr. Trump, and they oppose you every single day, every second, every inch. I think you've made a mistake, and you'll live to regret it, because now, one, you're going to have difficulty recruiting people. Not that there isn't a long list of people. I understand that. But I mean outstanding people. I would want no part of your administration or the Obama administration. It's certainly not the Clinton administration. But there are a lot of people in Washington, D.C., even if they oppose Trump, would jump at the opportunity to be national security advisor. There's many people that would like that job. Both generals, politicians, policymakers, even professors. Trump tends to lean towards generals. Obviously, he has not been in the military. There are some very good, outstanding generals, and there's some that are just watch your back. Watch your back. So in my mind, the real scandal is the threat to the Bill of Rights, the United States Constitution. Because it's clear to me that any phone call, whether it's to the Russian ambassador or to your daughter or son, yep, the National Security Agency has it. And if you ever are made a target for whatever reason, legitimately or illegitimately, a lot of pressure will be brought to bear on you. The name of the game is to get leverage, get dirt, blackmail material on you, to ruin you. It works two ways. One, if they want to shut you up, they don't disclose it, but they try to intimidate you so you do shut up. Or they try to ruin your reputation and leading to you being embarrassed and having to resign. Now, let me pick it up. I'm sorry to get started again, but let's go back to the press conference.
That's it. Pure and simple. It was a matter of trust. We went through a very deliberative process, a very thorough review. The first part of it was clearly to understand the legal aspect of this. And that was simply concluded. There was no legal aspect. And then what happened is the president evaluated the trust aspect of it. Major.
When the president was asked on Air Force One on Friday, traveling down to Mar-a-Lago, about reports, about conversations with the Russians, about sanctions, he said, "I don't know about it. I'll look into that." Mm-hmm. Was he being truthful?
No, what he asked specifically is, was he aware of a Washington Post story? He hadn't seen that at the time. Of course he was involved. I just said that he was aware of the situation right after the White House counsel informed him back in January.
And his inquiry to the White House counsel was strictly about the legalities involved, not the propriety of the conversations between General Flynn and the Russian ambassador.
Well, initially, just to be clear,
criticism of the merits of those conversations about sanctions before the Trump administration had been inaugurated.
So just to be clear, the acting attorney general informed the White House counsel that they wanted to give, quote, a heads up to us on some comments that may have seemed in conflict with what he had sent the vice president out in particular. The White House counsel informed the president immediately. The president asked him to conduct a review of whether there was a legal situation there. That was immediately determined that there wasn't. That was what the president believed at the time from what he had been told, and he was proved to be correct. The issue, pure and simple, came down to a matter of trust. And the president concluded that he no longer had the trust of his national security advisor over.
It was proper for the incoming national security advisor, not part of an administration, to be discussing an issue as sensitive as sanctions with the Russian ambassador.
I mean, his job is to discuss issues with his counterparts. I mean, Charles Krauthammer put it clearly last night. That's what he's supposed to be doing. I mean, that's his job. We would constantly read out transition who he was speaking to, how he was getting ready. The president was receiving congratulatory calls from around the world. We would read out the world leader calls. The job of the incoming NSA is to sit down with the counterparts and start that dialogue. And that's exactly what he did. So the question wasn't, did he do anything improper or illegal? It's the question of, could he be trusted further? And that trust, or the erosion of that trust, was frankly the issue. So,
did the president instruct him to talk about sanctions?
No, absolutely not. No. But that, no. And there's no, that's never.
So would you prefer he had not done that?
Well, I think the president had no problem with the fact that he acted in accord with what his job was supposed to be doing. He had the ability to talk about issues that were important, whether it was that or the 30 other countries that he spoke to. That was part of his job. As has been noted by many people, that's what the National Security Advisor and, frankly, other positions do. They begin the process of preparing their incoming job by talking to counterparts, people who have previously held the job, et cetera. If he had not done that, there would be questions as to whether he's properly prepared on day one.
Conversation about sanctions.
No, the issue isn't whether or not what he discussed. There's been a complete legal review of that, and there's no issue with that. The issue is whether or not he failed to properly inform the vice president or not be honest with him, or not remember it. But that's the plain and simple issue. And when he lost trust with the president, that's when the president asked for and received his resignation.
Thanks a lot, Sean. Yesterday, Kellyanne Conway, the counselor to the president, said that the president continued to have trust in General Flynn.
Right.
What happened between yesterday morning and yesterday evening that led the president to lose confidence in General Flynn?
Well, I'm not going to get into the specifics of where the president's thinking was, but I will just say, as I noted in the opening statement, that it was an evolving and eroding process. And so at the end of the day, the president made a decision, as he does on all subjects, and asked for and received the National Security Advisors. But he is one of those people that we've noted before, when he's ready to make a decision, he makes it, whether it's hiring somebody or asking for someone's resignation. Once he is determined that he has made a decision on any subject, that's when he informs his staff. So going into the day, it was an evolving situation. He made a determination late in the day, and he executed on it.
I need to interject here. I don't think Mr. Trump, President Trump, really thought this out, because now they're going to go after every single one in the administration. You throw some red meat in the water, especially if you're in the ocean, you're going to attract sharks. The blood, the meat's in the water, and now they want more and more and more. Oh, this is the easy way to solve the problem. Fast way. Get it off, change the narrative. But how many of your appointees are is this going to happen to? The press is not going to let up. You see what they're trying to do to say what the fact that he merely discussed it. It's a crime. It's a crime. They don't use the word, but that's what they're implying. They're not going to let up on this. They're going to continue doing it. I just got the signal. I got to wrap it up. But if you go to prompopops.wordpress.com, you can listen to the entire. This is about 10 minutes. I played about 5 minutes of it. It's clear that the president asked for his resignation, even though he resigned. That's a formality. And this is the first of, I think, many. And I think he's damaged himself, because I think a lot of people, no way am I going to work for that administration. And don't worry. There are a lot of people that will apply for this job. Generals as well as so-called foreign policy experts. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. webradio.wordpress.com.